This is the BrisNet.com call-in show on the Horse Racing Radio Network. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776. Now, here's Bobby Newman and James Scully.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition of the BrisNet.com call-in show here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, part of Woodbine Week. All week here on HRRN, I'm Bobby Newman, along with James Scully. This is your hour, HRRN Nation, to call in and talk about whatever you'd like in the world of thoroughbred racing, as we are now just 9 days away from Kentucky Derby 150. I cannot believe it. Number to get in, 888-966-4776. 888-966-4776. HRRN is the number to get in. James, we've been talking about it for so long, it almost snuck up on me that we're drawing for the Oaks and the Derby in 48 hours.
That's correct. On Saturday night's opening program, it's a Downs After Dark program, so they're going to have the drawing between races on Saturday evening. So yeah, we'll have basically, they're going to put out an overnight, my understanding is, sometime during the afternoon Saturday, because they're going to draw all the races in the morning other than the Derby and Oaks. And then so they'll have an overnight for those fields, and then they'll draw the Derby and Oaks, and I think they'll have like complete past performance files for Friday and Saturday by, you know, late Saturday night, early Sunday morning. So yeah, it's good this year. You're going to get a little bit more time to look at not only the Derby and the Oaks field and their post positions, but like the entire cards.
I'm sure the folks at BrisNet are thrilled that they get to stay late in the office Saturday night, putting the past performances together for the two cards that everyone has been waiting months to get their hands on. If you'd like to get to be a part of the show, feel free to call in. 888-966-4776 is the number. James, I'm sure we're going to talk a little bit about Derby on this show, and obviously we'll talk about it more next week as well. Do we know definitively yet whether Endlessly is or is not running in the Derby? And same thing for Encino?
No, I mean, not 100%. I think that like Endlessly and Encino, I think Endlessly is more likely to run, just take a chance, but it's not a done deal yet. And Encino, Brett Cox has just basically said they're going to wait until the last moment and make a decision that, you know, it's up to the ownership with that colt. And, you know, it looks like Encino is training well for Brad Cox. It would be a quick turnaround. And if they don't run in the Derby, obviously the Preakness, they'd be pointing for that race. But with Endlessly, it's a situation where he hasn't like trained really well over the dirt track. He's never run on dirt, and you know, Mike McCarthy was initially going to run him on turf, and that's still an option, the American turf. But they're leaning towards just giving it a shot.
It'll be interesting, because it went from, they weren't even talking about the Derby after he won the Jeff Ruby, and he was straight going to go back onto the turf in the American turf. And then I think they caught a little bit of Derby fever, whether it was the owner or the trainer or a combination of the both. And they said, listen, we may never have a chance again. We got to see what we have. And you mentioned it. The reports are that Endlessly has not looked very good working on dirt in preparation for this. Specifically, his work last weekend apparently stood out as being really unimpressive. And you know, if there was ever a reason to just say, all right, we know he's a turf horse, let's keep him on the turf, this is a reason why. So now we're going to see how strong that Derby fever is, because if you've got a horse that you don't think he's going to handle the dirt, he's shown you in the mornings he doesn't really like the dirt, and you still run in the Kentucky Derby, we know how strong that fever is, my friend.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Ammermans they've never had a Derby starter, and you know, they're older, and I'm sure people have pointed out to them Root Strike and Mind That Bird and all these other horses that had bad form coming in the race, or just mediocre form, and won the Derby as long shots. But unlike Animal Kingdom, who made his first start on dirt in the Kentucky Derby, was still relatively lightweight race. I mean, Michael McCarthy has said that last fall or last year, he trained him on dirt, thinking, you know, maybe get, you know, maybe give him a start and try it on it. And he didn't like it in his morning workouts in Southern California. And it's, it, you know, when Animal Kingdom, before he ran in on the dirt first time in the 2011 Derby, he was training at Keeneland, but he shipped over and worked six furlongs in like 1:13 and change. And everybody that saw that, you know, said it was effortlessly, and he just skimmed over the track and loved it. And when endlessly worked last time, he worked with a horse, Yellow Card, and he was under a rod going under the wire and was just basically laboring going in the turn. And that workmate just went on and just couldn't, the rider on the workmate couldn't hold him. So he just got outworked bad, and he looked bad at the end of it. And he's better on turf and synthetics.
All right, let's go out to the phones. Tom in St. Louis, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hey, Tom, how are you?
Well, I think I'm coming down with Derby fever, so Thursday and Friday might be sick days for me. Just kind of been practicing the cough this afternoon. Just if you guys can give me an opinion how it sounds, that, you know. So if the Endlessly's owners have it, I have it as well. So
it sounds good.
I think it's a great time. Thank you. I think it's a great time of the year, and I do think the Brisnet people, on the other hand, Bobby, want these things done and these past performances done so they can sit back and relax like us and, you know, kind of enjoy the week and just load the other tracks. I guess my question is, I know a lot of people have talked about how strong this Louisiana Derby was, but I went back and watched the replay last night, and Randy Moss made a comment that this was the third slowest of the four that they run at a mile and 3/16. And, you know, looking at the race, there were a lot of horses that had a chance to jump up and win it. Catching Freedom and Honor Marie were way out, way past the halfway point of the track toward the, you know, toward the stands, closer to the stands than the rail. I'm almost thinking those horses in that race might be kind of throwouts, because I've got an upset special that I'm going to play with Fierceness. I'll tell you guys about after I get your comment on that. Hear your comment.
Go ahead, James. He is looking at taking the opposite of other people. People are trying to talk themselves into the Louisiana Derby being a key race. Tom is going to look at it the other way and maybe say that it is a weak race and to not use the horses who were 1-2 in there.
Well, I mean, that's like, hey, I'm not going to blame anybody for their angle or strategy. I mean, I'll respectfully, like, disagree, and I think Louisiana Derby was one of the better preps. You know, I think with the Risen Star was arguably the deepest prep, and you had a bunch of horses from that race come right back with the exception of Sierra Leone. So I thought that race very eligible to have an impact on the Derby with the top two finishers, Catchy Freedom and Honor Marie.
All right. Well, I still like Fierceness, but I did a little research, and somebody, I'm not a pedigree person, but a friend of mine who is pedigree that I value. I like how Just Steel Surrographs are improving and how this horse gets better at distance. And I guess I didn't realize, you know, it's kind of one of those things, you don't see the forest through the trees, that he actually ran second in three of those four preps in Arkansas. But his mom was a good runner on Australian turf. And I found that in the Derbies, dams that have good foreign turf records, they really seem to thrive at the 10 furlongs. Nothing better than to see, look, if Fierceness can't win it and I've got to eat 6 months of crow, literally to the day, I'd love to see Just Steel win it. And I'm also obviously like Forever Yours, Encino, and Mystic Dance. Those are my five horses I'm really looking at, you know, playing in some kind of try box or somewhere along the line. And I really kind of surprised it would, you know, I like Mystic Dan the day that he won the Southwest, and at first I just thought it was because of the mud, but I watched that Arkansas Derby, and at first I didn't like it, but the last couple of times I liked it. I really looked at it, and just some quick notes that I made on points to remember. There were huge gate delays in both the Bluegrass and the Louisiana Derby. I think how these horses, especially with the new paddock, the 150th Derby festivities, and you know, with the infield back open. I think how some of these horses act and how they handle this is going to be a big thing that we're not going to be able to see in the morning, you know, gallops and workouts. And I don't know how you can simulate that. But I don't know, guys. Those are just my thoughts. And just kind of wanted to get your thoughts on Just Steele. And obviously I got your thoughts on the Louisiana Derby.
All right, appreciate the call, Tom. Do you have any more thoughts on Just Steele, James?
Yeah, I mean, unlike his first point, I agree with Tom on the Just Steele. I thought that Arkansas Derby was a big step forward, stretching out to 9 furlongs. He referenced those second-place efforts, and those were really non-threatening seconds, and he took a huge step forward. He even stumbled in a number stretch, but one thing I liked about it was he kept trying hard to reel in Muth all the way to the wire. In fact, he had a big shot, like an upper stretch, and that was a huge race. I mean, that was a big time. I've made the point, and I'm not comparing the two horses or saying that Just Steele's going to take another step forward, but, you know, Chris Mannix was like 45-1 in the Santa Anita Derby, and he had run a bunch of mediocre races that year, or just okay races, and he was a non-threatening fourth, and then he went to the Lexington and ran a big race to win, and he didn't beat that strong a field, and people sort of dismissed it, but he ran a lot faster. He turned in a visually much, much improved effort, and he carried that form forward. He was 31-1 in the Derby, and because people were just taking his prior form into account, and if you just look at Just Steele's last race and ignore all of his previous efforts, that's a darn good prep. I mean, a really good prep. So I give him a chance. I mean, I don't know about the win spot, but he could hit the board in my opinion. And, you know, I like the fact the coach worked him a mile in preparation. You know, he's like, hey, you know, I'm not giving him some shorter distance. He needs a longer distance, which is good for that. And I'll just mention, just for Tom's benefit, that Fierce's dam was a dirt sprinter, so there's no turf right there with her.
By the way, I'm going to go on a limb right now, James, and you feel free to say no if you
Sorry,
don't want
Tom.
To. But we love your opinions when it comes to these races, and obviously the Derby is not the only big race taking place next weekend at Churchill. I believe they have 9 stakes on the Derby Day card, and of course, Friday they have several stakes on the Oaks Day card. I would love you to be part of our Derby countdown shows presented by Hill & Dell at Alapa next Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday morning. Can we find a day and time that works for you to join Jude and me live at Churchill, my friend?
Yes, let's do it Tuesday morning. I'll be back there on the back stretch then, and I'll come by and visit with you guys. And yeah, I'll be dissecting the Friday and Saturday cards, the complete cards, you know, by Sunday morning. And you know, I've got some opinions in the stakes, but I'm looking forward to looking through them all. And you know, I've obviously spent a lot of time on the Derby and the Oaks, and waiting for post positions to finalize everything. But there's definitely some opportunities, I think, on both undercards. You know, I think it's this kind of situation, 13 races on Friday and 14 races on Saturday. You got to pick your spots, but I'm excited for the opportunity to do so.
All right, we'll iron out a time on Tuesday for you to join us live at Churchill Downs. Let's get another call in. Charles in Mississippi, welcome to the BrisNet.com call-in show.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Charles.
A couple of things. If you go back and watch that Arkansas Derby, Mood, Timberlake, and Just Steele, they finished 1, 2, 4. They were all up in the lead of that race. Now, if you watch the Bathhouse Road, the two horses that were ran first and second in the Bathhouse Road with the two horses that were eliminated in the Arkansas Derby along with Mystic Dan. But, you know, I'm going to play Mystic Dan in the Derby, but there are 12 horses you can legitimately like in this race. But you have to put Fierceness at the top of the pack. I mean, he's done more. Breeders' Cup Juvenile winner, Florida Derby winner, whatever you say about him, great numbers, except we ran bad. But there, you can make a case for Kitchen Freedom, Anna Marie, Just a Touch, Sierra. I think the most overbet horse, the horse I don't like at all, is Sierra Leone, and he'll probably win it. But I'm not betting a quarter on that horse. I don't like the way he runs. I don't like the way – I just – there's something about the horse I just don't like. Not switching leads. I mean, you know. But the rest of the cards – oh, and who – is there a horse that can beat that Anna in the Kentucky Oaks when you look at it? Is there a horse that you can legitimately say is going to – if that horse is 5-2, I'll bet more on that race than I will the Kentucky Derby.
She's going to be way more than 5-2.
Huh?
She's going to be way more than 5-2. Thorpita Anna, she's not going to be the morning line favorite in there.
Who?
She will not be the morning line favorite.
Oh, I don't know about morning line, but I'm talking about with the betters, James.
I know, but Leslie's Rose, just FYI, and Ways and Means are all three going to be a shorter price in the Oaks than Thorpita Anna. So you are 100% going to get a $10 plus mutual on her. So 5-2 is just totally unrealistic.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. She was the most impressive horse.
So go ahead and bet your $5,000 on her, Charles. I mean, you're down. You're on Thorpita Anna, and we got it.
Well, I'm not Mattress Mac now, James, but but I tell you what, I will have a rolling double Oaks Derby double with Anna and about 20 horses. And you know, you need a long shot just to break even with that bet, James.
Yeah. Well, you're going to get a chance at that. I mean, if you beat Fierceness, it's going to pay okay.
All right, I want to ask you a question. I think Bobby or either last week on the Stakes Preview Show, y'all Bob Stanovich or Bobby Newman gave that McPeak horse in the Vapors that was listed at 10-1 on the morning line, and she ended up paying 2-1 that.
Winnable.
The other Hernandez brother rode.
Yeah, winnable.
Didn't you recommend that horse, Bobby?
I think that was Bob who liked her.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, tell him it was a great pick, buddy. Sorry it didn't pay but 2-1, but
she's a nice
that was a great pick. Wow. Hey, you know what, guys? It pays to listen to Bobby Newman on that Stakes Preview Show, baby.
Well, I wasn't the one who gave that one out, Charles. I wish I could say I didn't.
It was on your show, buddy, so you can take credit for it, Coach. You can take credit for it.
Well, you know, I hope you made some money, my friend, and we appreciate your call and look forward to hearing from you next week, and hopefully you'll give us you can narrow down the second half of that Oaks Derby double that you're going to play. I don't like the Thorpedo Anna with about 20 horses, because that sounds like an all button to me on the second half. We need to cut at least a few of them out of there, my friend, so you can make a little bit of a profit. But appreciate the call, Charles. Thanks so much. All right, we're up against the break. If you're on the line, please hold on. We will get to you right after this break. You're listening to the Brisnet.com call-in show on HRRN.
You're listening to the Brisnet.com call-in show on HRRN. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
It's time to prepare for this year's Kentucky Oaks and Derby, and no website has better study materials than Brisnet.com. Want all the essentials to handicap both days for one low price? Then check out Brisnet's Ultimate Oaks and Derby Handicapping Package at Brisnet.com/plans. For only $29.99, get all your favorites for both days, including ultimate past performances, expert picks, and historical data from the past 24 Kentucky Derbies. That's $56 worth of handicapping products, all for just $29.99. Plus, you'll also receive 20% off all other Oaks and Derby Picks products when you purchase the package. Visit brisnet.com/plans now to get your Ultimate Oaks and Derby Handicapping Package. The 2024 Spring Meet at Churchill Downs kicks off April 27th with a slate of exciting race day events leading up to the 150th Kentucky Derby. Following the Kentucky Derby, Churchill Downs Spring Meet continues with live racing throughout May and June, including the Grade 1 Stephen Foster on June 29th. With 50 stakes races worth over $25 million and purses powered by the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund, you will not want to miss the Spring Meet at Churchill Downs. You can learn more about each day and see available ticket options by visiting churchilldowns.com.
Race to Twin Spires, where you can unlock a $25 risk-free bet. Just use the code HRRN25 when you sign up. And if your first bet doesn't win, Twin Spires will refund your account up to $25. Wagering on the app is fast with free pass performances, insider picks, and power plays every day you wager. Twin Spires. Download the app today to earn your $25 risk-free bet. Void where prohibited. For terms and conditions, visit TwinSpires.com. Must be 18 or older, 21 and older where applicable. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Want to get the latest HRRN content directly on your computer or mobile device? Then subscribe to our podcast using the Podbean app or Apple Podcasts. Just go to hrrn.podbean.com on your computer and click follow, or download the Podbean app and search HRRN. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts and listen to our latest episodes anytime. Don't miss a thing. Subscribe to our podcasts today. This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back. Brisnet.com call-in show here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, part of Woodbine Week all week long. Bobby Newman, James Scully, your hour to call in HRRN Nation. Number to get in is 888-966-4776. Let's go back out to the phones. Gary in Iowa, welcome to the Brisnet.com call-in show.
Thanks for having me tonight, guys. How you doing?
All good. How are you, Gary?
I'm doing well. Bobby, you getting excited about the opening of the meet over there in Prairie Meadows?
I am getting excited. It's kind of a whirlwind, buddy, going to Louisville next week, going to be there all week for the Derby, and then come back, pack 2 days later, head up to Altoona.
Well, you know, we know who the best bet of that week is over there. It's Glengarry in the Pat Day Mile. I mean, he's proven that Iowa breds are no joke. I mean, he after you've seen him in that little stakes down there at Keeneland, we know he can run with that bunch. I think that the owners are really regretting not putting him on the trail. I know one of them, and I don't want to put the words in his mouth, but I think that they're kind of regretting not chasing the trail. But we'll see. I mean, he's good at one turn, but I don't want to talk too much about the Derby because everybody is. But I do have to disagree with my man Charles. I mean, Charles of Mississippi, I love you, bud, but Sierra Leone doesn't even know how to run yet and runs by horses. Wait till he knows how to race. Oh, my God. This fierceness, if somebody sneezes two counties away, he folds like a cheap chair in church. This isn't even fair. Can somebody else beat Sierra Leone? Sure. But it's not going to be fierceness. Door knocks overlooked, I think. And Honor Marie is one of them horses I bet all the time. So I'm sure I could put that in there. But what I really wanted to call about today was the Bewitched Tomorrow on closing day at Keeneland. Warlike Goddess, gotta love her. She's just an animal. She's just a machine. But the track is so against her in the race. I mean, there's no speed in the race. And if you put a gun to my head, I couldn't tell you who the speed was. But somebody is going to wire that field, and it's not going to be Warlike Goddess. Maybe the California horse has a little more speed than we thought, Queen Command, the Lynch horse that came out of there, but Atomic Bomb, I don't know, but it's not Warlike Goddess. But what'd you guys think of the Keeneland meet? Pretty exciting, I thought. I thought it was real good meet, like it always is, and looking forward to the fall. Besides that, I don't have anything else to add except let's go Sierra Leone because I got a nice, nice future bet on you. Talk to you guys later.
All right, appreciate the call, Gary. All right, we got a lot out of that call, James. Let's start off with a start. I actually know one of the owners of Glengarry as well. I think you're mistaken on that one, Gary. I think that they know exactly what they have with Glengarry. And I think what they saw on the springboard mile is that he's probably better one turn than he is two turns. He may not be a long distance type of horse, but he's certainly a horse that looked good last time out at Keeneland. He is going to run in the Pat Day Mile, where he's going to face his most likely his toughest field yet. I may try to get his trainer Doug Anderson on one of our Derby countdown shows next week. We'll see what we can do as far as that goes, but Glengarry certainly an exciting Iowa bred. Charles has been wrong before. He may be wrong again. He is a Mystic Dan fan when it comes into the Kentucky Derby, so looking to win it from off the pace, and I don't blame him. Mystic Dan ran a great race in the Arkansas Derby despite a lot of things being against him. But similar, James, I think Sierra Leone has won two races in a row where he hasn't had it exactly like he wants it. I'm still convinced that he didn't like the wet track that he saw in the Risen Star down at Fairgrounds, and he ran completely against the way the track had been going all meet at Keeneland when he won the Bluegrass the other day. I mean, Gary may be right. Sierra Leone may not yet know what he's doing, and he's still good enough to win races.
I agree. I think even in the Remsen, I think all three races. I mean, one thing on that Risen Star today, it was a real sloppy track, but there wasn't anybody at, like, closing way wide like that and winning over it. And in the Remsen, he was the only, like, late runner to make a serious impact. And they felt like he shut himself down when he struck the lead, wasn't tired afterwards, and they added blinkers off of it. And it's kept him more focused in a sense. And I agree with Gary as far as, you know, him being still moving forward. I mean, he's figuring it out, and he's a dynamic closer. I mean, he's got this like feel that he could be really, really special. And I make the case, these like horses that they don't care if they're last early or what the circumstances are, and they just come charging, like, and they're just real, real top class. They don't come along, you know, they come along every once in a while. And to me, he's got the makings of like a Zenyatta type, where he's just going to overcome any circumstances and run up by the competition. I agree with Honoré. He mentioned Honoré. And to me, Dornick is just, you know, if you're playing against Fierceness, and to me, you're either all in or all out on Fierceness. I don't see saving with him, like, underneath. I mean, he's either going to win or, yeah, I think he's not. He's going to, like, be fifth or sixth or worse. And, you know, Dornick's, like, going to be sending hard, and he's got class. And I think he's going to make it hard on Fierceness and any other, like, speed horses in the Derby. And Glengarry, definitely a really nice win in the Lafayette Stakes at Keeneland. Not only that, it came back fast. He got a good, like, triple-digit percent speed rating. He is going to step up and face much better than Houdet and the horses he was running against. Knightsbridge is in there for Mott, and they thought he was a Derby horse, but he got some skin disease. But he finally got to the track in March and won by 9 lengths. And others in there will be a lot tougher, but he's a promising horse because that was his seasonal debut, Glengarry.
Yeah, I wonder if Mind Frame shows up in the Pat Day Mile. He looks so good on Florida Derby Day, breaking his maiden. Be interesting to see where he shows up.
Yeah,
next.
And I think BU is going to be in there, and, you know, he's pretty talented, and, maybe that cutback will favor him too. Excuse me for interrupting you.
No worries. Let's get a couple more calls in this segment. We'll go to Los Angeles. Christian, welcome to the Brisnet.com call-in show.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Good hey, Christian.
To you guys. Hey, it's looking to me like the Derby could be a chalky one. If the two favorites getting all the attention. And I'm looking at the weather. It looks like it's going to be sunny that day. Do you think that benefits both horses, both favorites?
Well, appreciate the call, Christian. I certainly don't think it hurts either one of the favorites. They both run very well on fast tracks, and we just mentioned it. At least my opinion is that Sierra Leone is significantly better on a dry track than he is on a wet track, or at least I don't think he really liked the wet track in the Risen Star. It doesn't mean he doesn't like wet tracks. He was good enough to win the race, but I think he's significantly better on a fast track, and Fierceness has run well on fast track as well. As far as it being chalky, it's hard to say. Certainly if Fierceness is able to get out in front of the field, James, He's going to be very, very tough to catch. And if the pace is honest, Sierra Leone's going to have a big chance from off the pace. But I wonder how far apart they will be when they go onto the backstretch. How far behind Fierceness will Sierra Leone be when they get to, like, the 6-furlong pole?
Well, by that point, he'll be rolling a little bit. But, like, entering the backstretch, he's going to be double-digit lengths behind him. It'll be interesting to see if Fierceness is in front. I mean, he's a threat to break running with John Velasquez. He knows how to lead wire to wire in that race, but there is other speed in there. I think that, I think that you get past, I mean, Christian's talking about Fierceness to Sierra Leone, and there's definitely a chance those two will win. You could say it would be chalky result, but I do think you have Catching Freedom and Forever Young and Honor Marie and some other horses in there that will have a chance if either one of those two falter and could offer some value. And because horses like Catching Freedom and Forever Young are going to take money in my eyes, I see the betting being like Fierceness 5-2 and Sierra Leone 7-2. I think Fierceness is still going to be a solid favorite over them, but I'm not seeing 2-1 on either one of them. And I think the second choice could easily pay $8.
All right, one more call-in before the break. Chris in New Jersey, welcome to the BristNet.com call-in show.
Greetings from exit 142 on the Garden State Parkway, gentlemen. How you guys doing?
Is it moving at all on the Garden State Parkway?
We're moving. That's a relative term, Bobby. I guess we're inching along. But it's a beautiful day, so there's no reason to get upset. One of the things that I realize as I'm getting older, the one key to success in life is resilience. Life's going to knock you down. The question is, are you going to get back up? And that's obviously the biggest trait you need as a horse player and also what you need in life. And that's why I'm 100% against Fierceness. I realize he's the most talented horse in the race. I'm just hoping that there's some adversity and he collapses. I'm all in on Sierra Leone. I'll sink or swim with them. I'm done thinking about the Derby. I don't care what anyone else says, but for the next 10 days or whatever it is, my decision's made up. The race that is much more interesting to me is the Oaks. I love the two-day bets. I love to wake up on a Saturday morning, whether it's Breeders' Cup Saturday or Belmont Saturday or Preakness Saturday or Churchill Saturday, and be alive in a two-day bet. And what I'm looking to, there's nothing like that when you go to get your coffee and you're alive. And I'm looking at the Oaks. There's four horses that on Thorograph ran a 4 their last race. Just FYI, Leslie's Rose, Charles's Torpedo Anna, and Ways and Means. And I'm trying to get it down from 4-2 so I can play like a $200 double just into my man Sierra Leone and take my chances, try to get live in a single on a pick 5 to Sierra Leone and take my chances and go from there. I'm interested to get your thoughts. I mean, Tarifa's also approving on the sheets. She went from 13-8 to 6-5. That horse has hurt me a couple times. And I think Impel will be a lock in the Black Eyed Susan, assuming she doesn't get into the Kentucky Oaks and there's a bunch of defections. But out of those 5, I'm interested, what 2 would you guys go with? And then the last thought is the Ali Sheba. I mean, First Mission's an absolute lock single in that. If you're playing to pick 5, I think, going forward. And I'm interested to get your thoughts. I'm alive tomorrow in a nice Horse 20s tournament to get me back to Monmouth, to hopefully get me back to Vegas. Life is good. I hope you guys have a great afternoon and a great weekend. Take care.
All right, appreciate the call, Chris. I actually just got back from Vegas last night, so I know the excitement of heading out there soon, my friend. First of all, I don't want to put words in James's mouth, but I would say that if Candied gets into the race, all those things that you just said about the Oaks don't mean a hill of beans because she is going to have a big chance in there. Knowing what the little bit I know about the Ragazin sheets or the Thorograph numbers or whatever, you know, her racing wide is only going to make her look good too. And she had no chance with that slow pace in that race. I don't think she's going to be in the Oaks, but she may be in the Black Eyed Susan if she's not in the Oaks. lot of interesting theories, though, and I do like this. Not necessarily that I agree that Fierceness is a throwout in the race, but I like the move of taking a stand. Like you said, James, either you like him or you don't like him. It doesn't sound like Chris doesn't like him. He's just saying, look, I know he's good, but I'm just going to try to beat him. And that's all there is to it. And I'm in on Sierra Leone, and I'm trying to figure out a way to get alive to Sierra Leone.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the way to play it as a bettor. I mean, you don't want to be playing Sierra Leone and spending a bunch of money like playing like Fierceness underneath him in Exactus and Traz, because I think you got to take a stand at some point. As far as the Oaks goes, he's asking of those four fillies, which two I would pick. I would definitely use Jess FYI. I thought she had a brilliant workout there. I think she's going to improve upon that runner-up effort in the Ashland. And I'll tell you, I got to look at her. I mean, she just looks like she's physically peaking, and she's got a real big rear, and she's got, like, tactical speed. And I think that could be important in this Oaks field. She could make her own trip. As far as the other three go, Leslie's Rose had a really good work, and she's coming off a good race too. And she looks like she could be a nice filly for Pletcher. I think Ways and Means is really talented, and Torpedo Anna is obviously, a talented filly too. My question with both those fillies is the mile and eighth distance. I'm a little bit worried. I mean, Torpedo Anna is my fast Anna. Has only thrown sprinters a mile or since she might get the distance. But it's going to be a tough ask, and Ways and Means too. I mean, she's bred for it more so than Torpedo Anna, but she's just real speedy to me. And that last race, she had a trouble trip. She's going to take a lot of money. So I would say, just FYI, and Leslie's Rose, Chris, to answer your question.
All right, you lost me after you said she has a really big rear. I just I couldn't hear anything
she's
else.
She's got a powerful backside. You watch that like gallop out. I'm here to tell you, I've been watching these works. I've been working on the work show since 2018. And, I mean, I can't remember another work. She worked 5 furlongs in a bullet, just FYI did. And they caught her, Bobby, galloping out an extra eighth, 6 furlongs. And then an extra eighth, 7 furlongs. And then they caught her galloping out an extra eighth in a mile in 1:40.1. And I can't remember another horse they caught like with those gallops out. Junior Alvarado had to pull her up. I mean, before she was coming into the first turn. I mean, that was as strong a gallop out. That's exactly what anybody wants to see with an Oaks Derby horse. And I just think that works indicates that she's going to move forward off of a really good second in the best prep, the Ashland. And, I think she's sitting on – I think she's like a power to keg for Bill Mott. I really like Jess FYI going into the Kentucky Oaks.
All right, we're going to take a break. If you're on the line, hold on. We'll get to you right after this. It's the BrisNet.com call-in show on HRRN.
You're listening to the BrisNet.com call-in show on HRRN. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
It's time to prepare for this year's Kentucky Oaks and Derby, and no website has better study materials than BrisNet.com. Want all the essentials to handicap both days for one low price? Then check out BrisNet's Ultimate Oaks and Derby Handicapping Package at BrisNet.com/plans. For only $29.99, get all your favorites for both days, including ultimate past performances, expert picks, and historical data from the past 24 Kentucky Derbies. That's $56 worth of handicapping products, all for just $29.99. Plus, you'll also receive 20% off all other Oaks and Derby Picks products when you purchase the package. Visit BrisNet.com/plans now to get your ultimate Oaks and Derby handicapping package.
When the spring meet ends, summer success begins. Buy, sell, fresh winners, hot prospects. One night, one chance. Finish strong. Don't miss out. The Keeneland April Selected Horses of Racing Age Sale. Friday, April 26th.
Race to Twin Spires, where you can unlock a $25 risk-free bet. Just use the code HRRN25 when you sign up. And if your first bet doesn't win, Twin Spires will refund your account up to $25. Wagering on the app is fast with free pass performances, insider picks, and power plays every day you wager. Twin Spires. Download the app today to earn your $25 risk-free bet. Void where prohibited. For terms and conditions, visit TwinSpires.com. Must be 18 or older, 21 and older where applicable. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hi, this is Kurt Becker. Join me each week on the Equine Forum as I take you on a stroll through racing history presented by Keeneland. This week, I look back at the racing career of Cannonade. Listen live on the Equine Forum every Saturday morning on Sirius 162 or XM 207 or visit our website at horseracingradio.net to access the archives and enjoy past editions. It's a stroll through racing history with me, Kurt Becker, presented by Keeneland, only here on HRRN.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now. 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back. Brisnet.com call-in show here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Bobby Newman, James Scully. Number to get in, 888-966-4776. Let's go back out to the phones. Mike in New York. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Okay, thank you. Just got a question, and you guys obviously watch a lot more races than me. I was looking at some of the races, and I'm not really a big guy on watching horses gallop out after races. Not that big, but I was looking at a horse like Catching Freedom, and I started looking at her races, and a lot of times it's hard because right after a race is over, be it NBC or TVG, a lot of times they either focus on the winner or they just go right back to a replay or something, or they go back to your commentators talking. But I looked at a couple races, and I noticed in the Risen Star, Catching Freedom, you know, after the race finished third, it galloped out like most 99% of them do. But in the Louisiana Derby, he almost came to a stop where everybody else just kept going. Is there a reason? I mean, obviously it looks okay at Churchill, but is there a reason the jockey would just do that after, like, especially a mile and 3/16th race like that, that would just kind of stop, pull up?
I appreciate the call, Mike. James, so I didn't notice that. But it's something that doesn't normally happen. Did you notice that or have any reasons why that would happen?
I did not notice it. And, to me, that's not an encouraging sign, but I didn't see it. Maybe I'll go back and watch and see if I could see that. I mean, I've seen the horses do that before and it be in like, I mean, actually, believe it or not, Swiss Skydiver did that right after the Wire and the Oaks where she got beat. I mean, she was just tired, I thought, and I thought something could be wrong with her, and then she came back and won the Preakness the next race. So I've been burnt by that before. I'm always a little bit leery, a little bit of those gallop out after races, but there's some people find value in it, know how to like analyze it and can make it successful for them. So, but to answer your question, no, I'm not aware of that.
James, I'm pretty sure on Twin Spires and basically any of the ADW, the account wagering companies that somebody has, if Mike, maybe you have one, that you can go back and not only watch the pan shot replay, but you can watch the head on replay as well. So you can see the gallops out. I don't know what the correct plural of that is. The gallop outs of all these horses are, because you can watch the head on shot and see him galloping past the line.
Correct. Yeah, definitely. And even the pan shot might show it, but yeah, for sure. And it might be different from track to track how far they go, but you could definitely see them a little bit into the first turn.
All right, James. We've had a lot of calls today, which is fantastic. While we have a little bit of a breather here, first of all, there's still time to call in if you'd like to. 888-966-4776 is the number. But while we wait for our next call, why don't we talk about who you like this weekend? Where is your best bet, my friend?
My best bet is coming in the Roxalana Stakes on the opening night program at Churchill Downs. It's race number 9. It's a 6 furlong sprint for fillies and mares. I like this number three, Speedy Traveler, stepping up to make her stakes debut for Phil Bauer. She's 9-2 on the morning line. She's won all three of her starts to open her career in front running fashion. And let me just say, in her first race, you know, she debuted at odds on. In her second race, she won by three lengths. And the runner up, who she easily handled, came back and won her next start at that level by five plus lengths. So it was a pretty good group. But I love the speed she like showed last time. I think she's the speed of the speed. I think that she's going to develop into a classy stakes filly. And I'm looking to bet Phil Bauer horses at Churchill in the right spots. I think his horses, he gets his horses ready for Churchill Downs. Had a good spring meet last year. And I like number three, Speedy Traveler in the Roxalana Stakes at Churchill Downs on Saturday night.
All right, goes about 10:45 p.m. Eastern time. Ninth race on the opening night card at Churchill. Number three, Speedy Traveler in the Roxalana Overnight Stakes. That is James' best bet of the weekend. All right, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, still time to call in. 888-966-HRRN is the number. It's the BrisNet.com call-in show on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the BrisNet.com call-in show on HRRN. The phone lines are open. Call now. 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
It's time to prepare for this year's Kentucky Oaks and Derby, and no website has better study materials than BrisNet.com. Want all the essentials to handicap both days for one low price? Then check out BrisNet's Ultimate Oaks and Derby Handicapping Package at BrisNet.com/plans. For only $29.99, get all your favorites for both days, including ultimate past performances, expert picks, and historical data from the past 24 Kentucky Derbies. That's $56 worth of handicapping products, all for just $29.99. Plus, you'll also receive 20% off all other Oaks and Derby Picks products when you purchase the package. Visit BrisNet.com/plans now to get your Ultimate Oaks and Derby Handicapping Package.
Race to Twin Spires, where you can unlock a $25 risk-free bet. Just use the code HRRN25 when you sign up. And if your first bet doesn't win, Twin Spires will refund your account up to $25. Wagering on the app is fast with free pass performances, insider picks, and power plays every day you wager. Twin Spires. Download the app today to earn your $25 risk-free bet. Void where prohibited. For terms and conditions, visit TwinSpires.com. Must be 18 or older, 21 and older where applicable. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is Woodbine Week on HRRN. It's time to get ready for the 2024 Thoroughbred season at Woodbine Racetrack, the number one turf track in North America. Season runs from April to December with over $62 million in purses with an industry-leading stakes program, including two Canadian Classics, the Grade 1 Million Dollar Rico Woodbine Mile and the Million Dollar King's Plate. Woodbine offers top safety-rated racing and training services, plus world-class facilities. Make Woodbine your home turf this season. Learn more at woodbine.com.
Hey, Jude Feld here. I'm back to get you ready for the 150th Kentucky Derby with HRRN's Derby Countdown, presented by Hillandale at Alapa. I'll join Bobby Newman live at Churchill Downs Tuesday through Thursday mornings of Derby Week as we bring you interviews from trackside with jockeys, trainers, owners, and other racing insiders, plus workout reports, breaking news, handicapping advice, and more. It's the Derby Countdown, presented by Hillandale at Alapa, Tuesday through Thursday of Derby Week, 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern. Listen on Sirius 161, XM 206, or streaming live at horseracingradio.net.
This is the BrisNet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back. Final segment on tonight's edition of the BrisNet.com call-in show. Bobby Newman, James Scully. Number to get in, 888-966-4776. James, what's going on this weekend at BrisNet and Twin Spires?
Well, at BrisNet, we're going to have a Kentucky Derby and Kentucky Oaks package bundled together, $29.99, all of we're going to have like a Derby primer that's going to have all the charts, all the races, in-depth analysis of all the horses, plus a breakdown of like what it takes from a pace perspective and run style perspective and other like analysis articles. And also going to get a tip sheets, you know, insider picks and power plays, Kentucky handicapper, profit line, and more. Plus, you can get 20% off our other picks or other products like Bruno's with the works and others. So, check out that Oaks and Derby package at BristNet.com. And at Twin Spires, we're going to have a money back. You know, you opt in and you all the races Saturday night through Derby Day. If your horse bet $10 or more to win on your horse. If it runs second or third, we'll give you $10, up to $10 back. So then we got that and Thursday leaderboard competition and much, much more. So make sure you check out those at twinspires.com and opt in.
James, is the backstretch and slash the area to watch workouts still open to the public leading up to the Kentucky Oaks and Kentucky Derby?
Yes. I mean, you might need a pass or you need to have a horseman's pass or badge or whatever, or have a connection to one of the horses perhaps to get on the back stretch. But starting this week, they've opened the front side up to the public for free to come in and watch the morning works as well. So if you've got access to the back stretch, they've got plenty of area out there to go watch the horses work and, you know, come in and off the track. And you can go to the front side as well and watch the workouts from there. So 7:30 to 7:45 every morning, a special training session for Derby and Oaks horses.
And by the way, so that's only Oaks and Derby horses are allowed on the track during that 15-minute session, but the Oaks and Derby horses are not, they don't have to work during that time. If a trainer wants to work their horse, you know, at 5:30 or whatever in the morning or 6 when it's still dark, he or she can still do that. If they want to work the horse at 8:45 or what, you know, whenever, you know, the general population, if you will, works, they can do that. But this makes it where the Oaks and the Derby runners have a fresh racetrack. It's just been maintained before
and
they let
no
the horses
traffic.
Back at 7:30. Right, and then none of the other horses are allowed out there until after 7:45. So that 15 minutes is plenty of time for whether they're jogging or working or whatever they need to do. Right, they're all going on right when that 7:30 time frame hits. You know, they hit the track, and whether they're, you know, 2 minute licking the other direction twice, whether they have plenty of time in that 15 minutes to get done whatever they need to do. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And they may go over and school at the gate as well, and then like do a mile and a half, mile and 3/8 gallop. And you're right. I mean, every once in a while, like last Monday, Mont worked just FYI. And then he got the same rider to ride Fierceness in a work. So it was outside that window, like around 9 or something. But generally, every other Derby or Oaks horse that doesn't come out in that 7:30 to 7:45 window is typically coming out at the crack of dawn, like real early. So Just Steele worked last Saturday a mile. But here in the like recent days, he's been going out like with the first set at like around 6 a.m. and galloping a mile and a half early in the morning. So there's a few horses typically that will do that. But they'll make at least, you know, one or more appearances in that other window as well, too.
Is the new paddock open for business starting this Saturday?
Yes, absolutely. I went up and took a tour of it last Saturday. It's open. They've got that ribbon board up around it, and yeah, it's all raring to go. So it will be open Saturday night, and you know, that will be a big, the Churchill Downs obviously excited to debut that.
All right. Well, looking forward to that. It's been a long time in the making, and we're looking forward to seeing the brand new paddock. We're looking forward to seeing a newish turf course at the start of the meet, and obviously.
Yeah, I mean, all the reports so far, we'll see how it handles holds up for racing. But they've had several work sessions where they've gone out and just let a whole bunch of horses work on the turf, and all the reviews have been good, and it's holding together well. Now, obviously, they got to start running races, which they will Saturday night on the turf. But everything looks good so far. So, you know, they got their fingers crossed that things stay the way they are.
Other than the Kentucky Derby and the Kentucky Oaks, what race are you most looking forward to seeing the past performances for when they're drawn Saturday?
I mean, you know, right now they got a real short field lining up for that La Troyenne. And, you know, I don't like – I'm thinking about taking on Idiomatic and Pretty Mischievous, so – I'm sort of excited to see that race. I like another filly in there. But, I mean, of course, races like the, to me, like the American Turf and the Old Forester Turf, those races always are like, I'm going to take a long look at them because I think, you know, if they don't offer the opportunity for value, you know, I mean, one of or both could offer, they might offer an opportunity to single, or I can take a stand. I like these turf races with big fields on the undercard of big stakes. I find those, you know, can be pretty challenging at times. So it's like races like that I'm excited to see. But this year, definitely like the Pat Day Mile, I think it's going to have some good horses in it. And I'm excited for some of the undercard races. The Ali Sheba, you know, I think Chris mentioned it or somebody did. It's got First Mission. It looks like he'll be a pretty good favorite. But that race is going to have Trademark, who loves the track, for Vicky Oliver. And I may take on First Mission in there.
All right, a lot of fun, and we're looking forward to they already have the fields drawn all the way through Thursday, and a few stakes on that Thursday card, including the artist formerly known as the WHAS-TV Stakes, which is now the Kentucky Juvenile, and it's been that way for a few years. Full field of two-year-olds going to go five furlongs on the main track. Wesley Ward will certainly have a major say in what happens in that race, and they're drawing the Friday and Saturday cards on Saturday, this Saturday, for next Friday and Saturday. We are really looking forward to seeing that. I don't want to be a downer here, but I want your best guess. How many of the 20 Kentucky Derby runners will run in the Preakness?
I mean, I'm going to say like three.
Okay. I mean, that's fair. I mean, we're assuming the winner will run.
Right.
Rich Strike is not going to win this year. We're assuming the winner will run. Don't forget there are other horses who are confirmed or have automatic berths for the Preakness if they want it. Like right. The horse who won the Federico Tessio Copper Tax. He's not confirmed, but he can run in the Preakness if he wants. Horses who won, like a horse who won one of the races at Oaklawn the other day, I think is winning you're in if he wants to get in, that if he's nominated. Muth is obviously pointing for the Preakness. I don't know if Imagination is headed that way as well. But you're going with three, which I think is the right, I think it's a good guess. It's unfortunate that I think that that's a good guess. It's unfortunate that it's not, you know, eight, something
yeah.
like that.
Well, there's two immediately to me, like both Just Steel and Track Phantom. I mean, if they run okay, they may not win, but if they run okay, I mean, Asmussen and Lucas, I mean, they've got a bunch of multiple Preaknesses between them with horses that ran in the Derby. They don't mind at all wheeling them right back. And there's a couple others as well. I mean, there might be a couple others as well, and then plus the Derby winner. So I would set the over-under as three, more than we've seen like the last couple of years, I think. And you're right. I mean, I think this Pat Day Mile could have an impact on the Preakness as well. And you could get Encino going there perhaps. And I think that I think there's more horses pointing for that race than typical. You know, last year you had First Mission, who was like the second choice on the morning line, who was a real exciting fresh face, more so than National Treasure, who won it, who was a little bit of a long shot, but he had to scratch. So it is good to, like, you know, there's still potential to get some exciting new faces in there, I think, this year. I'll tell you right now, Knightsbridge, he wins that Pat Day Mile. He's running in there 100%.
All right, and I would guess that the wine steward might show up in there after that good second-place finish in the Lexington. Maybe he'll reel back in the Preakness as well. But we'll worry about the Preakness in about a week and a half. We've got a lot of other things to worry about between now and then. Been a fun edition of the BristNet.com call-in show. Our thanks to all the callers and the listeners. Special thanks to producer Lee Delapina. On behalf of my co-host James Scully, I'm Bobby Newman. Thank you so much for joining in, everybody. Tomorrow, fun edition of Betting with Bobby here on HRRN. We've got Aqueduct, we've got Keeneland, we've got Oaklawn, we've got Santa Anita. Jeff Bratt, handicapper from Woodbine, going to join us tomorrow as well, part of Woodbine Week here on HRRN. And then Bob Nastanovich and I have the weekend stakes preview from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern. That wraps it up tonight. Have a great night, everybody.